Lord Jesus, Heavenly Father, thank you so much once again for the opportunity to be able to get back into your word. Help us now as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. Continuing our Bible study from A to Z in the word evangelism, if you will turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, pick it up here in verse 17, where it reads, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, and who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." So we can look at this concerning evangelism, where he says that we are all become ambassadors. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. Representatives of Jesus Christ, representatives of God, when we're out there in the world. And in that, we have the opportunity of evangelism. And to recognize, as it says in verse 17, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things have become new." We become new creatures, new mind, new heart, new goals, new desires. We need to let all that old stuff go and become new. Become as Jesus Christ, so that when we are out there in the field, out there in our lives, whatever it may be, whatever circumstance you're in, represent Jesus Christ as his ambassador in everything that you say, everything that you do, everywhere that you go, every moment of your existence. And then we become good evangelists. We become actual Christians, Christ-like, when we truly represent Jesus Christ as ambassadors. Then we are truly Christians, and we have that opportunity because the indwelling Spirit of the Holy Ghost gives us that power, gives us that might, gives us that ability based on his strength, not our own. We get ourselves out of the way, let him come forward, then we can truly be ambassadors for Christ. Now, if you will turn over to Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 4, pick it up here in verse 1. "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness and long-suffering, forbearing one another in love." Now, this vocation wherewith ye are called, we are all called to be evangelists. We are all called to spread the gospel. That's the great commission that he gives us, to go out and preach and teach the word of God. Your experiences, the blessings that the Lord has given you, the knowledge, information, the opportunities that he gives you each and every day, use them to the fullest. As ambassadors, as evangelists, get out there and do the task. That's our vocation. That's our job. That's our opportunity. And it says, "with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore, he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men." These gifts that he's given to us are these various gifts and abilities to be able to do the task he sets us out to do. Now, don't misunderstand up here where he tells us one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. You all. Speaking to the Christians, not to the ungodly Satan worshippers. Only indwelt into those that have received him. Because he says, you all. Not everybody on the planet is indwelt with the Holy Ghost. Just the born-again Christians. Read it again. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. It's not anything and everything goes. This coexist bunch believe any religion is okay as long as you have a religion that helps keep you morally straight, then you're all right. Well, no, there's only one way to heaven, and that's by way of the finished work of Jesus Christ. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. The gifts that he gives us, the opportunities that he gives us to utilize those gifts, it's all by grace. It isn't that we earned it. Remember, we're always supposed to stay humble, because he's up there in verse 2. Lowliness and meekness, long-suffering, and forbearing one another in love. That's not to be puffed up with pride and arrogance, because you've made it some kind of accomplishment or achievement, and then you're going around bragging about it, or it lifts you up thinking that you're something great or better than somebody else. It's with meekness, power under control, long-suffering, it's patience, forbearing one another, with love. As it continues down there in verse 8, wherefore, he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. He sends us gifts. He gives us gifts by the power of the Holy Ghost. When he initiated the opportunity for everyone who comes and trusts him to receive the Holy Ghost, in that we receive those gifts he speaks of here. Verse 9. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill or fulfill all things. And he gave some apostles. Now he gets into some list of some of the things that he has given us, the various vocations. Everyone is not called to do the same task. We all have various abilities given to us, various gifts, various assignments. So we need to pray and listen up to the Holy Ghost and know the perfect will of the Lord, and then utilize what he gives you. Verse 11, and he gave some apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. That's why we have been given those things. We need to utilize those things, go out there, spread the gospel, live a life that brings honor and glory to the Lord, remembering that we are all ambassadors of Christ. On over in Ephesians chapter 6, we'll turn over there. Ephesians chapter 6, picking up here in verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Note, being strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Very, very important part of that is his might. Because we of our own are weak and wimpy. We cannot achieve anything of our own power and our own merit. No, it's by the power of Jesus Christ that we are able to do a work that matters, that really counts for something. And always give him the credit and the honor and the glory for it. Not take it for yourselves. And that it is always his might, not ours. Over and over and over we see that through the scriptures, emphasizing that everything that we have comes from the Lord. Even the ability to be able to take the next breath, it's a gift from God. Give him the credit and honor and glory for all of it. Anything that you can accomplish, because it's all by grace. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Now he gets into a list of various pieces of armor that the Lord allows us to put on. Because actually, what we are going out into is a battle against Satan, and a battle against his forces. So we need to put on the armor of God, because we have no armor of our own that can withstand the power of the devil. So we need to put on the armor of God that can withstand the evil forces that are out there, the evil that is coming up against all of us born-again Christians. But let's look a little bit here further at this armor. It reads, "Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." He'll come at you in so many different ways, from strangers, from associates, even from your closest family members. "For we wrestle not against against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Satan and his followers that are indwelt with Satan. That's who our true enemy is. It's not the flesh and blood. It's the spiritual battle that's the hard battle. And we have to have these armors, these pieces of armor from the Lord, in order to stand up against the wiles of the devil, against these powers, against these rulers of darkness. Read 12 again. "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." This spiritual wickedness in high places could be looked at in many different ways. Those that have taken authority, those that have taken power and overrule others, especially those that have been elected or taken into different government positions, or dictators, whatever it may be, whether it's an elected official or official that took it by force. They could be some of these that he's speaking of here. These powers of darkness in high places, indwelt with Satan. We can sure see a lot of that in the politicians in this country. The actions and behaviors of them purely come from the devil. And they have a lot of power. They have been given a lot of authority. And we wrestle against that indwelling spirit that is in them, which is purely of Satan. 12 one more time. "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." Just pick up a couple pieces of armor. Be fully protected. Take on the full armor of God. All of it. Verse 14. "Stand therefore, having ye loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness." And that breastplate of righteousness is the righteousness of Jesus Christ that he covers us with. It's not our own righteousness, because that's as filthy rags, as it says. And that truth can be found in the Word of God. That truth can indwell us, because the Holy Ghost is the Spirit of truth. So when we're going into whatever battle it is, as long as we are standing on and presenting the truth, then that will prevail. "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace." The good news of peace, the good news of opportunity of salvation. "It is above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked." That shield of faith, faith in Jesus Christ, faith in the armor that you have put on, that is the armor of God. Not faith in yourself, not faith in your own abilities, your own skills, your own will fail. But when you trust and stand on the power and the might of Jesus Christ, and will succeed. Above all, take in the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. So when you have that faith in the power of Jesus Christ, when you have that faith in the strength and the might of Jesus Christ, you can deflect those fiery darts that come at you. And believe me, there's going to be a lot of them coming at you. The more active you are, the more of the fiery darts that will come at you. And they'll be coming at you from all kinds of directions. They will surprise you at some of the people that will be slinging those fiery darts at you. As it continues, verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation, which is really what you have to start with. You start with salvation, you become a born-again Christian, and then you have available all these pieces of armor. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. We need to know the Word of God. We need to study it, as he tells us in 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's the word of God, rightly dividing it. You got to study it in order to use it in the right way. Keep it with you, carry it with you. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Looking out for each other. It's important that we pray for each other. We are all in the battle. Be praying for each other, because we're fighting Satan, and the more we come together as a unit, the more we come together as the body of Christ, the more effective we will be. The more power and influence we'll have, the more we'll be able to change this world and get this world turned into the direction that it needs to be. So take every opportunity that has been given to us and use it to the fullest. Verse 19, and for me, talking about for Paul, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. See, that's one of the things that we can pray for each other. Not just for Paul, because Paul's finished his work. He's up there with the Lord now. But be praying for each other, that we can all have this ability, this boldness to be able to proclaim Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior every opportunity that comes our way. Verse 20, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, talking about Paul here, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. But that ye also may know my affairs and how I do, Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that ye might know all affairs, our affairs, and that he might comfort your hearts. Peace be to the brethren, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. Finishing up the letter there that Paul sent to the church at Ephesus, encouraging the born-again Christians there, giving them these guidelines here, letting them know that we need to be praying for each other, letting them know that we can put on this armor of God so that we can stand up against the wiles of the devil. So let's all do that very thing, to put on that complete and full armor of God and get out there and get in the battle. There's plenty of battle out there available. Over in Colossians chapter 4, in verse 2, more about this praying for each other. It reads, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. With all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the ministry of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. Paul, once again, sent into the church at Colossae. And at this time, he was in prison. He was in bonds, as it says there, and still been able to do a great ministry, which was part of his calling, part of what he was called to do, was to go out and get in this situation, actually, and be able to reach others that he was not going to be able to reach if he had not been in such a situation. And it was awesome that the Lord has preserved these letters that we can learn from Paul's experience and be able to apply them to our job going out there and doing the work of an evangelist as well. Now let's look at a letter that Paul sent to Timothy. And this is believed to be the last letter that he wrote from his incarceration, and not long before he got his head cut off. But here in 2 Timothy chapter 4, where it reads, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Now this charge is Paul giving a charge to Timothy, saying, this is what I give you the assignment. Go out there and do that. But really he's passing on an assignment that was given to all of us by Jesus Christ. He's preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Preach the word. Right, so let's look back there at Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you all the way, even unto the end of the world. That great commission that he's given to all of us to go out there and preach and teach the gospel. I mean, that's what we're supposed to do, to share that. As he says over there in Mark chapter 16, verse 15, he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. To every creature. Everybody. So, that's our task, that's our commission, that's our opportunity. Just as Paul was re-emphasizing this to Timothy, let's start that again in chapter 4. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. The quick are the born again, the dead are those that are not born again. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove. Let's test everything, look at it, make sure it's correct. Rebuke, that's to turn down the false doctrine, the lies. Exhort with all long-suffering, that's patiently proclaiming the truth. And doctrine, doctrine is the establishment and practices of the truth. Verse 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And that's the situation that we find ourselves in out here in the world, trying to spread the gospel, trying to establish a belief in Jesus Christ, primarily and solely in Jesus Christ, is a challenge because we are going up against Satan. And Satan has a lot of followers, and his followers are twisting things around, altering the truth into a lie. And the churches and gatherings of people that love to stay in their sins, love to bring into themselves or into their groups teachers that tell them exactly what they want to hear, and that is, oh, it's okay for you to do this and do so. They are false teachers. They are those that he's speaking of here. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. They don't want to hear the truth. They want to hear, well, you can stay right in your sins because the Lord loves you and he'll forgive you for it. But you can keep doing it anyway. It don't work that way. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables, to the false teachings, to the lies, to the fluff and stuff, feel-good sermons, oh, you're okay just the way you are, stay just like you are, because we trust and serve a God of love, 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 and there is no accountability for your sins. Once you trust Jesus, that's it. You can do whatever you want and get away with it. Well, it don't work that way. Over and over, he tells us. He gives us the examples. He shows us how everything we do is going to be looked at. We're going to be judged. What do? We wood, hay, and stubble, or was it the gold, silver, and precious stones? You want everything that you've done to be burned up and gone because you failed, because you trashed everything the Lord gave you, including your body when you use these drugs and alcohol and so forth? You can't just do anything you want and get away with it. It's going to be accountability. Yes, we can lift it up and give it to the Lord and give forgiveness for it, but that don't mean you just turn around and do it again. If you truly, sincerely want forgiveness, if you truly, sincerely repented, you've turned away from that. Not just, well, let me go get it cleaned up so I can start over, and then you go getting it all dirty again with the intention. If you do that, just like it says in the epistle of John, you're clearly not a born-again Christian to begin with. You need to get saved. And he finishes it up here in verse 5. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Do the work of an evangelist. And that's what we all have the assignment to do. To go out to preach and teach the gospel, just like we read in Matthew and in Mark. And in right here, a letter to Timothy by Paul. It says, but watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, because we're going to have a lot of afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. Test it. Analyze it. Make sure that you're sharing sound doctrine, the truth that could be found in the Word of God. And know that we are all going to be held accountable. We are all going to be judged for everything that we've ever done. From the moment that you become a born-again Christian to the time that you're at Judgment Day, all that's going to be looked at very closely. You're going to either suffer loss or you're going to gain rewards. So keep it on the right side. Keep it on the faith side. Keep it on the righteous side. If you mess up, if you stumble, take it to the Lord. He'll forgive you for it. But don't think you can just turn around and keep doing it over and over and just run back. Oh, okay, well, this week I'm going to do all this horrible, sinful stuff. But as long as I go Sunday and ask for forgiveness, then it'll be okay. Well, you're not born again to begin with. Get it right. Truly repent. Turn away from your sins. And then take on the task that the Lord gives you the opportunity to do. And do it to the fullest. Be an evangelist. Let's all of us do that very thing. We got to remember, like he said, that we are ambassadors of Christ. We represent Jesus Christ. We are new creatures in Christ. Let's all do that to the best of our ability to bring honor and glory to the Lord. Let's pray. Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for allowing us to be evangelists, allowing us to be ambassadors of yours. Help all of us do that to the very best, to bring honor and glory to you, not to ourselves, only to you. As we pray in Jesus' precious holy name, amen. Thank you.